Welcome back, Draft Geeks, to the 15th episode of the NFL Draft Geek Podcast. Once again, I'm Brian Johannes, and I'm joined, as always, by Kyle Howe. We're kind of going through our process of breaking down division by division, how the teams have done in the 2015 draft. This episode, we're going to look at the NFC South. Kind of an interesting division. You had probably the worst division in football last year. You had the Panthers make it to the playoffs with a losing record and end up winning a game. And then, you know, you had the Saints with all their, roster turnover, the Bucks with the first overall pick. We'll have quite a bit to talk to about it tonight. Kyle, how you doing today?
Great, Brian.
All right, let's get started. Let's start with the Atlanta Falcons. They had the 7th overall pick. They ended up taking Vic Beasley, a defensive end, outside linebacker from Clemson. In the 2nd round, they took Jalen Collins, cornerback from LSU. In the 3rd round, they took Tevin Coleman, a running back from Indiana. 4th round, they took Justin Hardy, a wide receiver from East Carolina. 5th round, they took Grady Jarrett, a defensive tackle from Clemson. And then in the 7th round, they took Jake Rogers, an offensive tackle from Eastern Washington. And then Akeem King, a safety from San Jose State. Kyle, what did you make of the Vic Beasley pick?
It was awesome. To me, this was one of the biggest no-brainers in the first round. The Falcons have really just not had anybody who can rush the quarterback off the edge. Beasley is that. I think he's probably the best pass rusher in this draft. You know, not saying that, you know, from an overall skill set, but just being a pure pass rusher, Vic Beasley is that guy.
Yeah, he's a guy I definitely think. I don't know if he'll start day one. He'll be definitely a guy that comes in as a pass rush specialist. And then I think he eventually fills that Leo role in Dan Quinn's defense if he continues that 4-3 under from Seattle. His first step quickness is probably one of the best in this draft, and he'll be a good asset for them. In the 2nd round, they took Jalen Collins. He was a guy that was a lot of first-round talk with him until he had his it came out that he had some marijuana failed tests at LSU. I think to get him in the 2nd round, he fits perfectly. He fits that Seattle Seahawks type of cornerback that Dan Quinn was used to the last couple years.
Yeah, definitely. If the Falcons are able to keep him away from the reefer, I mean, him and Trufant together will be an amazing cornerback tandem. So, you know, in a really pass-heavy division like the NFC South, this is a great selection.
Yeah, definitely. I think the thing about him and Trufant is Trufant would be your number one corner. I could see them. You know, I know in Seattle, Sherman stayed on one side, Maxwell stayed on the other predominantly. I think, I don't know if you're going to see that here. I think they're going to maybe at the beginning shift Trufant around to face off against the top cornerback, and then Collins will be kind of, you know, protected. They'll maybe roll coverage towards him to get him as he develops. But, you know, he gives them definitely that number two cornerback they desperately need. All right, let's move on to the third round pick of Tevin Coleman. I'm not a huge fan of him. I thought he was way too much boom or bust. He either rolled off that 99-yard run displaying that speed, or he got tackled for a 2-yard loss at first contact. I had him as my 8th-rated running back. But with all that said, I had no problem at all with them taking him in the 3rd round. He just seemed to fit their scheme perfectly. They're that Mike Shanahan, or that Kyle Shanahan zone blocking scheme, one cut and go. I think he fits that to a T.
Yeah, I got to agree with you. I didn't like Tevin Coleman much at all. I had him as my 11th overall running back, and for being kind of a scat back, he just didn't have that lateral quickness that you expect to see from a guy like him. But, you know, I think he does fit perfectly, like you said, in Kyle Shanahan's offense. And, you know, he's gonna also contribute in the pass game too, I think. So I think it was a really good selection, good value. I like the pick.
Yeah, and I know he's not really a power back, but he gives them something that they don't have. They have Devontae Freeman, they have Antoine Smith. He gives them that. He's a little bit bigger of a guy, If they would have took a guy like Abdullah, I think it would have been a steal, but they would have had all of those smaller type backs. So I think that does a little bit for him. In the fourth round, they took Justin Hardy. I think that's another good value pick. I think that's about the value that he should have gone at. He's going to step in and replace Harry Douglas, I see. You know, very good slot, not an elite route runner, but really who is coming out of college. But he's such a crafty guy. He just has a knack for just beating man coverage underneath. And I think he's going to give him a good slot receiver.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you. I didn't have him rated exceptionally high, but I think it's a very good value, and I think he's going to give them exactly what they want. And he's not, you know, like some of these other receivers who are going to, you know, play on the outside and, you know, they're drafted based on their potential and their upside. He is what he is. He's going to be able to come in and, you know, you're not going to – he doesn't have any bust factor, I guess I should say. So it was a really good pick. He's going to contribute from day one. I like the selection.
And then in the fifth round, I think the Falcons got the steal of the NFL draft. Grady Jarrett. I have yet to hear anybody that understands why he fell to the fifth round. I know he's a little bit shorter, being only about 6'1 or so. But no one can find a reason why he fell this far. And he was a guy that was so disruptive. He, you know, was always in the backfield. You know, he's going to come in and give them that three technique penetrator that they don't have. I mean, he's a guy that I wouldn't have been shocked if he went in the late first round. And they get him in the fifth.
Yeah, I'm still confused as to how he fell to the fifth. I thought he was going to at least be a top of the third round guy. I thought there was no way he was making it out of the third round. For them to get him in the fifth round, you're right, this could be the steal of the draft. So I haven't heard anything medical on him, nothing off the field. You know, his height is, you know, a little bit of an issue, but for what you see in what he brings, his height just doesn't even come across as an issue in his play.
Yeah, I mean, that was just, yeah, I could have seen him go in the first. It's not saying, like, oh, gosh, he should have gone first. I thought he could have. He was more likely a day two pick, like you said. I thought third round is the latest he would go, and so the fact that he was available there in the fifth round was just amazing. Looking at their two seventh round picks, Jake Rogers or Akeem King, any of those two guys really do much for you?
I don't know much about either of them. But, you know, there's two positions the Falcons need to help at, so at the very least, it brings depth.
Yeah. Overall, I thought the Falcons had the best draft of anybody. You look at picks 1 through 5, and I don't see anybody that had a better 1 through 5 than they did. I think they got 5 starters out of this draft.
Yeah, the Falcons were my second best team in the entire NFL. Vikings were first. I really like what the Falcons did. It's just a fantastic draft for them, and kind of they're pointing upwards with Dan Quinn as the head coach, and Dimitroff, you know, appears to be back on his game after this draft. So it's a good time to be a Falcons fan.
Yeah, definitely. Let's move on to the Panthers. They had maybe one of the fewest picks of anybody in this draft. They only had 5 draft picks. In the first round, they took Shaq Thompson, a linebacker from Washington. Second round, they took Devin Funchess, a wide receiver from Michigan. In the fourth round, they took Darrell Williams, an offensive tackle from Oklahoma. And then in the fifth round, they took David Mayo, an inside linebacker from Texas State. And then Cameron Artis Payne, a running back from Auburn. Let's look at the first round. Shaq Thompson, what did you think when they made that pick?
I thought it was a joke. I mean, I have no idea how Thompson went that high. I was not a fan of his whatsoever. I had him as my 84th overall player. I think he's undersized as an outside linebacker. He doesn't have the skill set to play safety. I don't see how they could have made this pick. Just there were a lot of other guys available that they should have taken the first round over him. This might have been the worst pick of the first round for me.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. You know, I've heard people say that, well, the Panthers are one of those teams that they don't look at needs. They just go best player available. And I'm like, well, I wouldn't have said Kelvin Benjamin was best player available last year, but, you know, he developed into probably that. This is definitely not it. I don't get it. Thompson is, you know, like you said, a weak side linebacker, but then they got Thomas Davis there. Is he a safety? I don't see him necessarily being a safety. It's interesting. He, to me, you know, maybe they say, well, we run so much sub package, he can be a sub package safety for us or a linebacker for us, but I don't see Luke Kuechly getting off the field. I don't, you know, Thomas Davis is a guy you don't like to take off the field. You know, I don't know. I don't know what to think with this pick.
Yeah, that's two of us.
So, moving on to the second round, them taking Funchess on first look kind of surprised me a little bit. You know, you had heard all about them wanting one of those guys that could stretch the field, a Devin Smith, a Philip Dorsett, Breshad Perriman. And then they take Funchess, and then the more you look at it, the more it makes sense. I know they have Kelvin Benjamin, and it's giving you two similar backs or similar receivers. But then you think, well, Cam Newton's not a totally accurate passer. He's more of, you know, strong arm, just going to throw it up there for you to go get. And Funchess, it gives him that guy that kind of, you know, he's got a big catch radius. He can go up and get the ball. When it's all said and done, I like the pick.
Yeah, I really like the pick. And like you said, Cam Newton is not a precision passer whatsoever. And, you know, that's exactly why having another guy like Kelvin Benjamin makes so much sense for them. I think Funchess has even better hands. I think he has better hands than Kelvin Benjamin does. I think they're probably similar in terms of athletic ability. Kelvin Benjamin, probably better playing above the rim, per se. But I really like this pick. And I think, you know, if they want that guy that can stretch the field, they do have Ted Ginn right now. Granted, he's getting up there in age, but
he had his best season with them a couple years ago, too.
Exactly. So I think what Carolina's done to give Cam Newton some weapons is a lot better than them drafting Shaq Thompson the first, say that.
And don't they have Philly Brown, who played pretty well for them last year?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they do.
So, I mean, that gives them that deep threat, too. He played pretty well for being a late-round or undrafted pick. So, I mean, I think Funchess fills that type of receiver that they need with Cam, a guy that could get downfield that you could throw the ball up to and he's going to go get. Moving on to the fourth round, they took Darrell Williams. I think this is about right with his value. But the problem is he's a right tackle. This team needs a left tackle. I know they signed Michael Oher. The word is they felt that he played hurt last year for the Titans, and he's going to get back to more of what he was with the Ravens, and he's going to be their left tackle. I don't know. I thought they would be wise to go with a left tackle in the first round.
Yeah, I'm not going to knock the pick because of him being a right tackle.
Yeah,
it certainly would have been. It would have made a lot more sense if they did go with a left tackle in the first round. But I think this is a good selection. You know, even if he doesn't start at right tackle, he provides depth. He's really good in the run game. I like him a lot.
Yeah, I mean, he'll probably be their opening day right tackle because I don't think Jonathan Martin's going to beat him out.
No, definitely not.
And then I know some people really like Cameron Artis Payne. I wasn't a big fan of him. What did you think of the Auburn running back?
I think he's kind of that change of pace guy. I don't think he – I think D'Angelo Williams is gone, right?
He's a Pittsburgh. Yeah, the Steelers.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think it's kind of like a replacement for him, but, you know, he doesn't have this game, same talent – as D'Angelo Williams. It's a good pick. I can't knock it at all.
Especially, you know, fifth round, you know, yeah. Not too surprising. What What would you give the Panthers? What do you think of how they drafted with their five picks?
Probably a C, because I think Shaq Thompson is just an F. Just so mediocre, and just dropping your first round pick like that, I can't really like this draft a lot. As much as I like the Devin Funchess pick, I can't like this draft as a whole.
Yeah, I didn't like it. I didn't like Thompson. I didn't think he. I thought he was a late second, early third round pick. He not only does he not fit. He does not only is he a bad value. I don't see the fit. Funchess I thought was a good pick. Darrell Williams I thought was a pretty solid pick. You know, when you have that few of picks, you know, you gotta get. You know, you almost have to get three or four starters, and I think they got, you know, two. So, I didn't really like it.
Yep.
All right, let's move on to the New Orleans Saints. They had nine picks in this draft. In the first round, they took Andres Pete, offensive tackle from Stanford, and Stephon Anthony, an inside linebacker from Clemson. In the second round, they took Haloi Kikaha, an outside linebacker, defensive end from Washington. Third round, they took Garrett Grayson, a quarterback from Colorado State, and P.J. Williams, a cornerback from Florida State, man. Fifth round, they took Davis Toll, an outside linebacker, defensive end from Tennessee Chattanooga. They also took Tyler Davidson, a defensive tackle from Fresno State. Man, I am screwing up on these colleges. Also in the fifth round, they took Damian Swain, a cornerback from Georgia. And then at their final pick in the seventh round, they took Marcus Murphy, a running back from Missouri. What did you make of the Pete pick? I know, personally, I don't hate it. I don't dislike it. I mean, I like Pete a lot as a player. I just thought it was an interesting move.
Yeah, it was somewhat of an interesting selection, but their offensive line was a mess last year, and I think that's why they didn't get their passing game off the ground like they wanted to, and why their offense was pretty stagnant. So I can't knock the pick at all. Maybe there was another way I would have gone, but I can't knock the pick.
Yeah, to me it's just their guard was their biggest need, and Pete's a left tackle, and I think a left tackle only. And, you know, you're going to probably, you know, Terron Armstead was a guy that I thought was developing into a pretty solid left tackle. You know, you always hear about how in this Saints-type offense, the guards are the most important, and you use your tackles just to push guys past the pocket and allow Drew Brees to step up. So it kind of was curious that they spent that high of a pick on a tackle. So, I mean, but like I said, I like him as a player. One pick that I don't think a lot of people are really digging, but I am. I like them taking Stephon Anthony with the 31st overall pick.
Yeah, I'm not a huge Stephon Anthony fan, but I know he fits what the Saints want to do on defense, and their inside linebacker situation was a mess. I like Denzel Perryman more, but I don't think Denzel Perryman was a guy that really fit what they wanted to do. I could have seen Bernard McKinney as being their pick, but Anthony's a good scheme fit, just not a great value in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, I had him in that range, that late first, early second. I think he fits the scheme so perfectly. You know, I don't think they probably felt that they weren't going to get him with their second round pick, so they had to maybe reach a little bit on him. Yeah, he fits the scheme so perfectly. He's a downfield thumper, you know, and Rob Ryan likes to do the blitzing, especially out of his inside linebackers. And Anthony was a guy at Clemson who, when he blitzed, he got home. So I think, yeah, like you said, like I just said 100 times, very good scheme fit. Their second-round pick, I thought they reached on. Haloi Kikaha, a guy that I didn't dislike. I just, you know, with his knee injuries, he was a guy, I just was surprised he was taken that early.
Yeah, I didn't like the pick at all. And, you know, to tell you how much I didn't like the pick, I had their fifth round selection, Davis Toll, rated higher than Kikaha. I think Kikaha is just so limited as an athlete. He has a good motor, but he's undersized somewhat, doesn't play with a lot of power, not overly explosive. I mean, this was a huge reach for them, and I don't see the value whatsoever. he reminds me a lot of Jarvis Jones from the Steelers, and it's not a good thing.
Yeah, he seems like he's a technician, but in the NFL, you know, it's good to be a technician, but you got to pair that. There's a certain level of athletic ability that you need, and I'm not quite sure that he, you know, and a lot of it, it's probably Rob from his knee injuries. I mean, I think he tore the same ACL twice, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, that could always be it, too. And, you know, I always see with, you know, these ACL injuries, you see they tear it and then they say, oh, my knee's feeling better than ever. But then it's the next knee that goes because they're overstraining that. So I think his career probably is going to be pretty short-lived.
Yeah. Third round, they took Garrett Grayson. Not a huge surprise. You'd kind of heard his name. Linked a little bit to them. You know, there was that talk of them taking Mariota in the first round. What'd you think of them taking a quarterback that early?
I didn't like it at all. I think there was better value on the board, and the Saints had a lot of needs, in my opinion. I wouldn't have taken Garrett Grayson.
Yeah, I mean, I like him as a player. I just don't see him being anything more than a Brian Hoyer, Matt Schaub type of quarterback. You know, he's gonna learn a lot from Sean Payton and Drew Brees. You know, they got to hope that maybe he has the Aaron Rodgers effect where he sits for 3 or 4 years and develops into an elite quarterback, but I don't know if he's got the physical tools to do so.
No, Garrett Grayson, he kind of reminded me of a Drew Stanton type. He's going to be a good backup. He has the tools to make most of the throws. He has some mobility, but he just doesn't have the overall skill set and just killer instinct to be a starting quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah. You know, I really liked P.J. Williams' pick in the third round. They needed some cornerback help. He's a guy that I liked as a second-round pick. He gets pushed down a little bit because of some off-the-field issues. Probably the most physical cornerback in this class.
Yeah, I like P.J. Williams a lot, too. He was my 7th-rated corner, and I see where he slipped this far because he does have the off-the-field issues. He's also not very, very fast. You know, his deep speed is questionable and tends to grab jersey and be too physical downfield. But as a tackler and in press, he's phenomenal. So it was a very good value as long as he's able to keep clean off the field.
Yeah. Then speaking, I thought they cleaned up pretty well in the 5th round too. You know, you had mentioned Davis Toll before. I think his athleticism, you know, he's going to be a good outside linebacker for, you know, prospect for them. Tyler Davison is, you know, a defensive lineman. I think he's got potential to be a future starter. And then Damian Swan, where P.J. Williams, a physical guy, they got a physical guy in Brandon Browner. Swan is more of your a free safety. I think he could be a potential safety for them in the future.
Yeah, I haven't seen a whole lot of Swan, but definitely has the ball skills to play free safety and play on that back end.
Yeah, he was a guy that at Georgia got moved to more of a nickelback free safety type role this year and kind of thrived, played his best football. So he's a guy that, you know, is probably going to get some nickel look. Maybe he's a plays maybe a little safety in their sub packages. I think he's maybe not be a elite player, but he's going to give him a solid defensive back.
Definitely.
Anything stand out to you about Davidson or Toll or Murphy in the 7th round?
I really did like Davis Toll a lot. You know, just really athletic, good burst, just exploded off the line. I think he just needs some work, you know, with his hand usage and, you know, developing a better pass rush repertoire. But I think he's a great pick. I wouldn't be surprised if he ended up being a starting linebacker at some point in his career.
Yeah, definitely. What would you give the Saints overall? Like, I liked what they did. My notes were I like it, but some confusing picks, mainly the Kikaha going in the second round, taking a left tackle in Pete at 13. But overall, I think they did pretty good. Pete's going to be a starter. Anthony's going to be a starter. PJ Williams is going to be a starter. I think you're going to get a starter out of Kikaha or Toll. I thought they did pretty good.
Yeah, you know, they cleaned up really well on the back end from PJ Williams on. And then I liked Andrews Pete, but then the three picks in between Pete and PJ Williams, I just wasn't so high on. I know Anthony fits the scheme well, but I just didn't see the value in him. I thought he was a guy that probably would have been there at 44 for them, but it is what it is. I thought, you know, wide receiver might have been a better option, but yeah, they did well. I wouldn't say it was fantastic. Probably give them a B.
All right. Let's move on to the final team in this division, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They didn't have a ton of picks. They only had 7 picks in this draft. First overall pick, they took Jameis Winston. Second round, they took Donovan Smith, an offensive tackle from Penn State. Also in the second round, they took Ali Marpet, the guard slash center slash whatever from Hobart. Fourth round, they took Quan Alexander, an outside linebacker from LSU. Fifth round, they took Kenny Bell, the wide receiver from Nebraska. Sixth round, they took Keelan Clay, a wide receiver from Utah. And then in the seventh round, they took Joseph Iosef, a running back from Hawaii. We really don't need to talk about Winston, do we? I mean,
I don't want to talk about him at all.
Okay. I mean, it was the pick they had to make. They made it. It's been talked about all along. Let's move on to the second round pick. Donovan Smith from Penn State. What did you think of him going 34th overall?
I think it was high. I think he's, you know, he's a, I don't think he's a left tackle, and drafting somebody that high kind of indicate that they are. It just, the pick was somewhat out of desperation, in my opinion. But he's solid. I think he's a good run blocker. He's physical. Just doesn't have the athleticism to play left tackle.
Yeah, he's a guy I liked. You know, like you said, I just don't know if he's a right tackle or a left tackle. I think he's going to get that look just because, I mean, who else do they have? You know, Tampa Bay's, to me, going to be a team that's probably going to be picking relatively high next year. Just because, you know, you have a rookie quarterback. I think they probably end up getting their left tackle next year. I think in my 2016 mock, I had them taking Ronnie Stanley. A solid guy. I think he's eventually going to be their right tackle in the future. Also in the second round, they took Ali Marpet. Kind of a hot name. He kind of had a good Senior Bowl, and he finished it up showing his athleticism at the Combine. What did you think of them taking Marpet in the second round?
You know, they have holes all across the board. I think what they were hoping is that they'd get their left and right tackle here, considering they had holes at both positions. I don't know if that's really going to be the case. I think Marpet's probably going to be a guard.
I think he's. I think they drafted him with him being a center in the future.
You're right. You know, that could happen too. You know, he can play. Shouldn't say he can play all across the board. I don't think he's a left tackle at all, but you know, he can play left guard, you know, across to the right. So, you know, it was a decent pick. Probably had some other value that would have been better, but can't knock them for trying to protect Jameis Winston. You know, we saw last year with Winston, he had a very shaky offensive line, just kind of. They didn't really mesh well, and he really suffered and had his turnovers go way up because of it. So I see what they're trying to do with the pick.
Yeah, if I'm not mistaken, they traded up to get Marpet. So he's probably a guy that they wanted. They were afraid they weren't going to get him in the third round and moved up to get him. Just kind of interesting you take a guy, a Division III guy, in the second round. I know he did well at the Senior Bowl in that. The funny thing is about him is he actually ran a faster 40 time than Jameis and kind of called Jameis out about it. So it's, I mean, I don't think there's any ill will or anything, but it's kind of funny that they're both on the same team now.
Wow.
And I don't think he did it maliciously. He just kind of pointed out that, hey, I ran faster than the number one overall pick. Something along those lines. In the fourth round, they took Quan Alexander. I don't know how much you got to see of him. From what I saw, I didn't really care for him. He seemed like an athlete playing linebacker. He really lacked the nuances. But that being said, he has good speed and just flies to the ball.
Yeah, I haven't seen a whole lot of him. I caught him when I was watching Danelle Hunter play, and he kind of does just have that type of Lovie Smith weak side linebacker skill set. And so, you know, I can see why they made the pick. I just don't like him as a prospect.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting that they took him because they've got Levante David as their weak side linebacker. So I'll be curious how they play both of those guys because I don't think Alexander is anything but a weak side linebacker, and as much of a stud Levante David is, you're not going to move. I mean, I'm sure you could play some strong side linebacker, but I think you're taking away what he's best at.
Yeah, although didn't Levante David rush the passer quite a bit on third down?
I mean,
maybe that was under Schiano.
That might have been under Schiano.
I think it was.
Let's move on. Fifth round, they took Kenny Bell, wide receiver from Nebraska. I think he, he's going to be a guy that is going to, he's going to be a big contributor to this team. Very good, kickoff return guy. I think he'll fit into that role right away. A guy that can return punts. He's an outside receiver, a deep threat type guy. 6'1". He's under 200 pounds, but he's pretty good built. I think he's going to be a guy that could develop into their third receiver. I'm sure they can move Vincent Jackson and Michael Evans around, put Bell in and have him run deep.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't think Kenny Bell was spectacular, but what he does well. He's just a deep guy. He's similar to like a Ted Ginn, not quite as fast, not quite as talented, but he can contribute on kick return too. I like the pick. It's right about where I would have drafted him, so they can't go wrong there.
And he's a guy too. He's a special teams guy. He played. He was Nebraska's number one receiver, probably since his redshirt freshman year, and up until his junior year, up until his senior year, he was a gunner on the punt team. So,
right.
Here's your number one receiver willing to go down and make tackles, and he was really good at it, too. So, he's a guy that he just wants to play football. He's going to go out there. He's going to be a four-phase special team. Well, not four phases, but he's going to play almost on every special teams. He's going to give you some speed on the outside at receiver. I think he's going to be a guy who's not going to develop into a star, but he's going to be a big contributor to their team.
Yeah, I agree there. I completely forgot about him being a special teams contributor too.
Yeah. Keelan Clay, their sixth round pick, another guy that's more of a speed guy, a little bit smaller, probably a guy that could develop into their punt guy. Maybe they use Bell as their kickoff return guy. We'll look at Clay as their punt return. He's more of a shifty guy than Bell is. Bell's more of a straight line runner. Clay also is infamous for his throwing the ball down before he scored a touchdown against Oregon. Remember that play?
Vaguely.
Yeah, he caught a deep touchdown. He caught a deep pass against Oregon, and right before he was going to cross the goal line, he set the football down, kind of DeSean Jackson-like, and Oregon ended up picking it up and running it back 100 yards for a touchdown.
Gosh, yeah, I do remember that.
So, he's a guy. They don't have much depth at receiver. They've got Evans, Jackson, and then Russell Shepard. And then you got Bell and Clay now. So, I'm not super high on Clay, but it gives them some special teams potential, too, as a returner.
Yeah, it's funny because it took the Bucs something like 30 years or maybe even longer to have their first kick return for a touchdown. And I think what was the guy's name? It was something like maybe Sterling Moore. I don't know. I can't remember now. But it seems like they always have had problems with kick returners. So you know, they go out and they get two here, so should be interesting.
What'd you think of the Bucks draft overall?
I didn't like it at all, to be honest. I'm not a Jameis Winston fan. Then, you know, they go out and they kind of reach on their next three picks. It just doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me.
Yeah, I mean, I think Winston, it was the pick they had to make. Smith is solid. Marpet's solid. I just, you know, second round picks, I don't know. I didn't mind it, but it's not what you would have thought with where they were picking in a lot of these rounds. So that does it for the NFC South. Who do you think had the best draft of this division, or was it pretty obvious?
Oh, it was obvious.
All right. So the Falcons, we both thought, nailed this draft. Who do you think out of the Panthers or the Bucks? I'm assuming those are the two worst. Who do you think had the worst draft?
I'm going to go with Tampa. I mean, they had the first overall pick and in the draft. And, you know, just you're never 100% sure with a quarterback when you draft them and how they're going to develop and turn out. But I think Jameis Winston had more questions than any number one overall pick at quarterback, even more so than Cam Newton did a couple years ago. So I don't like their drafts at all, and I thought it was one of the worst in the league.
Yeah, I thought the Panthers and the Bucks both had two of the worst drafts in the league. You know, I look at Carolina and they got Funchess. I look at Tampa, and their best pick is probably Winston, and that's, you know, there are big concerns about him. So I probably do have to agree with you with the Bucks. You know, they didn't have very many picks, and, you know, this draft class was going to rely on Winston to begin with, and that's really about their only pick they truly nailed. So if you want to say they nailed it, so it'll be quite interesting to see how they progress over the year.
Yeah, the only thing I think that pick nailed is the coffin.
All right, that does it for this episode, breaking down the NFC South. We're going to continue to pump these out. We still got the both West divisions. Look for this to come out on iTunes. It'll automatically download if you are a subscriber. If not, just look for our tweets. We'll tweet it out. I'm at BAJOHANNS. And Kyle is at KyleHow1. Thanks for listening.